ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And Paul's choice of words is interesting because both words, order and steadfastness, are military terms. The word order describes each soldier being in his proper place, arranged in ranks, you might say. And then the word steadfastness pictures these soldiers in battle formation. They're ready for any enemy that's going to try and get past them. And that's how it should be. Think about it. In the church, we all have different roles. Just like in the human body, there's different organs and things that are working together for what? The betterment of the body. But say there's someone going to attack you. What happens? The whole body comes together to fight against that, right? Here, we all have different roles, but when there's attack against the church, what do? We get on our knees and pray. We are ready to fight against the enemies that are coming against the church. Our heart's desire is that they would get saved. And instead of being an enemy, they would be a brother or sister in the Lord. You know, we pray for our leaders in Washington, for them to come to saving faith. Because when you have chaos and disorder, that's of the devil. That's not of God. And look at Washington. I mean, could you imagine if that was your workplace? That business would have folded up years ago. I think that's what they're trying to do with our government. And that's why we need to pray for. But I really believe this whole impeachment thing is to get rid of the Constitution of the United States. Because the Constitution of the United States of America prevents us from becoming part of the global community because we're a sovereign nation. And we'll talk about this on the prophecy update because it's very interesting. There's two leaders in the world that are being attacked because of their patriotism. And you can probably figure out who they are, but we'll talk about that. Disorder, chaos. You pray, Lord, open their eyes, soften their hearts that they come to saving faith. And that's what we should be doing as a body of believers. And not just this church as a body of believers, but Christians throughout our community, throughout the state, throughout the nation, throughout the world, praying that God would send revival, that people would come to that saving faith. Because we know the days are short. And I think so does the devil. Because I've never seen so much turmoil, so much attacks against the Christian faith than I've seen today in these last several years. And I think he knows his time is short. And he's really trying to destroy the Christian faith. Will he succeed? Absolutely not. God won't allow him to. But let's be on guard. Because a lot of people, a lot of churches have succumbed to the worldliness, have succumbed to the things of the world. I like the way that Paul puts it in Colossians 2:6 because it's pretty simple. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Why make it complicated, right? You received him by faith, right? He saved you by his wonderful grace that he extended to you. Okay, walk. Now walk. And it's really our daily lives, walking in him. Let him guide you. He's our life source, rooted in him. We get our spiritual nourishment from him. Fruits born in our lives because we're attached to the vine. And we're built up in him, maturing in him. Again, Peter's warning in 2 Peter 3:17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. Be careful, be aware, and grow in the Lord. So simple. Don't make it complicated. We have the Lord, we have His Word, we have the Spirit of God. That's how we grow. Now, before we get to the next verse here in Colossians chapter 2, let me share this with you regarding deception and how easily we can be fooled. We're told this. We do not have to live very long to know that it's easy to fool people, and that it's very easy, to be fooled ourselves. Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, the great preacher and writer, used to illustrate this by telling of a practical joke which he and his teenage friends played on some unsuspecting passerby in a large city. His group stood on a busy street corner and stared intently into the air. One of them pointed, while another said loudly enough to be overheard, "It is not." A third friend argued, "It is so." And at this, one or two people stopped and began to look up in the same direction as Barnhouse and his friends. As the argument grew more heated, others stopped to gaze fixedly at the point his group discussed. Then one by one, Barnhouse and his friends quietly slipped out of the crowd and gathered a few yards away to watch the results. By this time, some 15 people were looking into the air. The crowd changed as new passerby came along and joined the group, and those who had been staring longest left. 20 minutes later, several people were still looking upward. Several others had gone off to the side and were leaning against a building, looking up for something that was not there and never had been. About his childhood trick, Barnhouse observed, "That little incident is a good illustration of all the earth-born religions. People talk about having faith, they tell you to look in a direction where there is absolutely nothing. Some people are so desperately in need of seeing something that they will look till they are almost blind, yet they never catch a glimpse of anything real." His point is so true. "Over my years of ministry," he wrote, "I have seen those who were once perfectly healthy Christians set their sight on and their faith in something which was absolutely nothing. I've seen vibrant Christian young women don floor-length dresses and wear bonnets all because a leader said this was the path to true godliness. I've seen intelligent college-age men refuse to wear shirts or trousers made of mixed fibers because the Old Testament forbid Israelites to wear clothing that was part wool and part linen. Eventually, some of these were led off into a cult. It is possible for seemingly healthy believers to be led astray. It happens every day." And that's what Paul's going to talk about next. Look at verse 8 here in Colossians chapter 2. "Beware, lest anyone cheat you, plunder you," you might say, "through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Paul's not saying here, guys, here's something you may want to think about if you really want, but, you know, do whatever you want with this information. You know, it's up to you. No, this is a stern warning. Beware of what's going on. Pay attention, because the world's philosophies are deceptive and they want to take you away from Christ. They want to rip you off. The Greek word for philosophy comes from two Greek words, phileo, which means love, and sophia, which means wisdom. So the love of wisdom. And who's Paul writing to here? He's writing against the Gnostics, who loved wisdom. And this is the wisdom of man. In fact, James tells us of this wisdom in James 3, verses 15 and 16. "This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, demonic, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Look at the confusion in the church. Why? Because we've allowed worldly wisdom to come into it. We've allowed the pressure that the world is placing upon the church to compromise what we believe, so we look like the world, and then no one's against us, except God, I guess. Earthly wisdom, no. In fact, James goes on to speak of godly wisdom in verses 17 and 18 of James 3. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." See, one is earthly and sensual, it's demonic. The other is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without hypocrisy and partiality, it's from God. When people get into things, these false teachings. They isolate themselves from others because they are either told to or they really can't defend what they believe. They become self-seeking, and it's about their doctrine that they are holding on to, and they become condemning towards others who don't hold their view. And there's a lot of confusion and evil behind, and I've seen it recently. As a pastor, it breaks your heart. They can't stay because they're teaching, what I'm teaching is totally contrary to what they're believing now. What does God's word say? It's as simple as that. And the reality, you can't find truth regarding life apart from Christ. These false teachers, they're trying to cheat people, kidnap them, carry you away like the spoils of battle. They're not trying to win converts from the streets. They come into churches to kidnap believers to their side. Isn't that interesting? And it's prevalent today. People turning from the simple truths of faith and going after things that sound so deep and so profound and so exclusive, and they're kidnapped by their lies. And they're giving people empty deceit. This Greek word is used some 19 times in the New Testament, and it always describes the work of the devil. His natural language is what? Lies. That's his natural language. So why would we expect anything less? It's demonic. Francis Schaeffer said, any philosophy that starts with man will never get you to God. How true that is. Look at the philosophies of the world over the years. Have they changed? They change all the time. All the time. In fact, they even contradict each other. Do they sometimes get it right? Well, yeah. You know, sometimes I get it right when I say the Chicago Bears are going to win. Not often, but sometimes I do get it right. Why grope for answers to life's problems, to life's questions, when God has the answers for you, right? It makes no sense. Ox Guinness put it this way in regard to the futile effort of man in his search for the truths of life. This is what he wrote. Contemporary man, with his self-drawn picture of society as the closed room with no exit, is caught metaphysically and sociologically. In the darkness of the room, evidently without windows, perhaps without doors, he gropes round and round the edges. Can one hope that someone will dare to wonder whether there is any light other than the feeble sparks of his own making? Or will he stubbornly persist in treading the barren circle of poor premises? Absolutely. In that world, there's no way out. But Jesus is the door. And we enter into eternal life through him. The traditions of men are just that. The traditions of man, they're not of God. I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and there was a lot of traditions that we did. And many times, I didn't even know why we did them. You know, I was an altar boy. That's kind of funny. But I was an altar boy. And you know, you used to hold the plate underneath the people when communion was handed out. I never knew why we did that. I had no clue. I didn't realize that the communion wafer was actually the body of Christ and you didn't want them falling on the floor. Those are traditions of men. I was just at a funeral service at a Catholic church today, and they had the Stations of the Cross, and they had this, I think her name was Victoria, when, you know, Jesus, she wiped his face with her cloth and the picture of Jesus appeared on the cloth. And I'm thinking, book, chapter, verse, where is that? Oh, nowhere. That woman doesn't exist in the scriptures. It's a tradition. Why do we follow those things? God has given his word to us, and we need to follow what his word is saying. These things are like the elementary principles of the world, the ABCs. When we have the deep things of God, the rich things of God, the wisdom of God. In fact, in Colossians 2:20, Paul said, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Why are you going back to that? If you died to the things of this world, and now you're living in Christ, why go back? Don't become a prisoner, to the basic principles of this world. We died to those things. You know, it's been over 20-plus years we've seen psychology come crashing into the church, and the church embracing it. Worldly wisdom, it's not from above, it's sensual, demonic. I mean, go study Freud. Freud, this guy who was trying to help all these people, hated people. He died without friends. And this is the guy that you want to help you? I'll let you in. I'll give you the name of probably one of the greatest, well, it is the greatest counselor in the world. He's a wonderful counselor. His name is Jesus. And he knows you better than you know yourself. And if you are willing to come to him and lay it at his feet, he will give you the answers to your problems. The problem is we don't always like what he says. That's why we go to other people. I've seen it with Christians. They go to people like Christians who want to get a divorce. They usually don't go to other Christians to get their okay. They go to unbelievers. Well, my friend said that I could get a divorce. Well, I really don't care what your friends say. What does Jesus say about it? There's the bottom line. I'm real sorry. Some of them do say, well, my Christian friend said it was okay. I'm saying, well, I think Jesus supersedes your friend because what he said goes contrary. We got to be careful. Now, think about it. If your car's broken down, you don't get out your Bible, you take it to a mechanic, or you get a book on auto repair. I take it to a mechanic. A book would not help me, okay, on auto repair. If you hurt your leg, sprained your ankle, you can go to the doctor or read up on what you can do in a medical book. Yeah, you could do that. I can do that. I have no problem. It doesn't mean we can't pray that God would fix the car or heal the ankle. Most of the time, though, we have to get it fixed. The Bible is not a book on science, even though when it speaks of scientific things, it's 100% correct. Now, if you have a problem with your heart and soul, what do you do? Well, you go to your therapist, psychologist, to get books on how to overcome. No. Like I've said, that's what the church is doing. It's not what we're to be doing. If you have a problem with your heart and soul, you bring it to Jesus. You get into the Word of God because the Word of God deals with life's issues. It deals with us. In fact, the world's philosophies many times will hurt you, not help you. Ray Stedman put it like this. He said, human knowledge, then, is a rudimentary, elementary, and basic to the fallen nature of this world. It stays on the periphery of truth, never getting to the real heart of spiritual reality. That's why our nation's university community, its entertainment community, its information and news community, and its political establishment have become so saturated with those who profess the highest levels of human knowledge, yet who are filled with vileness, corruption, immorality, lawlessness, drug abuse, suicide, and every evidence of moral decay and spiritual deterioration. Today, all of these institutions in our society are permeated, if not dominated, by a philosophy called deconstructionism, a worldly philosophy that teaches the words have no objective content, and therefore words have no truth. Today's liberal theology has become deeply infected with the disease of deconstructionism, and it fosters two very destructive beliefs. First, if truth cannot be assigned to words, then we can make words mean anything we want them to. We no longer have to be concerned with objective truth, with true truth. Each of us can invent our own truth, our own reality. I can lie and call it truth if it gets me what I want. I guess you could say that's what's going on in Washington right now. Sorry. Second, the Bible, the Word, or Logos of God can be deconstructed, emptied of all truth. These words of Jesus make no sense to deconstructionists. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. While Jesus says God's Logos is truth, the wisdom of this world cancels out the Logos of God, portraying the Word of God as empty and meaningless. You have your truth, says the wisdom of this world, and I have my truth. So don't you dare impose your truth on me. Even at its very truest and most pure, human knowledge does not address the heart of reality as the Word of God does. The truth of this world, when it is validated by God's Word, can complement the truth of the Scripture, as when archaeological discoveries verify biblical accounts. But human knowledge can never supersede, contradict, or invalidate God's word. The wisdom of God always stands above any so-called knowledge of this world. Absolutely. Don't allow people through their empty philosophy cheat you with this empty deceit they're pouring out, the traditions of men, the basic principles of the world. Our completeness is from God and not this world. That's what Paul goes on to say here in Colossians 2. Look at verses 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Think about this. If the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ, then Jesus can't be a God or a junior God or almost God. Jesus is fully God, always has been, always will be. Now, is Paul saying that those outside of Christ are not complete? Absolutely. Ever since the fall of man, we're born into this world in a state of incompleteness. Spiritually speaking, because our fellowship with God is broken. Sin has separated us from God. Morally speaking, because we do our own thing, we don't follow the will of God. No, we're going after fleshly things. The flesh is controlling our lives. Mentally speaking, because we don't know the ultimate truth of God. No. And I think as time has gone on, we've seared our conscience with a hot iron, and we don't feel these things that we're doing as wrong anymore. You know, I knew as a kid when I was growing up and I did something wrong, I knew it. I felt it in here. Didn't always stop me, but I knew it. But the more you harden your heart to that, the more you become insensitive to it. And that's the danger. And once we come to Christ, it gives us what? A new heart, right? A heart that's sensitive to the things of God. Spiritually, our fellowship with God's been restored through Jesus Christ. Morally, in the sense that we have God's will to guide us, absolutely. And mentally, because we have the truths of God in our lives, we have the mind of Christ. Peter put it like this in 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, look at how complete we are in him. He's given to us all we need to life and godliness. In the knowledge of him, all the precious promises. You don't need all this esoteric nonsense to know God, for in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Man, we're complete in him. Don't go back to the empty philosophies of the world, the traditions of men. Let the Lord guide you. As we read on here, we're going to see in verses 11 through 17 of Colossians 2, Paul speaks of the restrictive nature of religious legalism. It kind of chokes the life out of a relationship with God. Look at verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Again, most of the Colossian believers were Gentiles, but the Judaizers would come in. And they tried to get these Gentiles to be circumcised in order to be saved, to keep the law of Moses, along with coming to Christ. And Paul says, look, you've already been circumcised by God, by Jesus. The circumcision of the flesh, or that sinful nature that's been cut out, and you've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. It's not an outward ritual. It's an inward reality. Paul in Romans 6:6 said, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now, there are many today who like to say, hey, if you're not baptized, you're not saved. Or if you're not baptized in our church in a certain way, you're not saved. My question is, if baptism was necessary for salvation, why did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. You see, if baptism was important, Paul would have been sent by God to not only preach the gospel, but to baptize people. Because just because they received the gospel, they're not saved unless they were baptized, is the rationale. Well, that's not true. Paul said, God didn't send me to baptize people. He sent to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.